Thank you for that song. I think it went very well with our devotional. Thank you, Kevin. And that goes along well, I believe, with the message that I want to share. I was thinking about when you were sharing there about the horses being controlled by a bit in their mouth and how the Holy Spirit is to control us and how we speak. And sometimes, and some of you know what it's like to have a horse and buggy and maybe grew up that way or something, and I've never had that, but I sometimes will see one at a corner and the horse is raring to go and the driver's pulling back and the thing's raring up, and you know, when you share that, I wonder sometimes maybe that's how the Holy Spirit feels when he's trying to control me and my tongue, or to hold me back a little bit. And also wondered, this is kind of an aside completely, but who was the first person that looked at a horse and said, I think we can control this beast by sticking a stick in his mouth and yanking back on it? And I don't know how that happened, but maybe it was just as difficult to think about controlling a person in their tongue and thinking the Holy Spirit must be involved to do that. Turn with me to 1 John this morning. Most of what I share this morning will be out of either 1 John or John. There might be a couple of references out of other books, but certainly want to look here a lot in 1 John and think about love for the brethren, love in the brotherhood, how we love each other. And it takes the Holy Spirit as well, and to help facilitate that love probably takes a good controlling of the tongue. I'd like to read the first four verses of the first chapter to start with, where he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, speaking of Christ there. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested or shown unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. And the reason I wanted to read these first verses here was because John is talking about his experiences with Jesus, having seen and having heard, and he's writing this book so that our joy may be full. And in thinking about that, with regard to this whole book and the loving the brethren, maybe if you don't have joy in your heart, that could be one of the problems. Now, there are several themes that run throughout 1 John. One of them is that ye may know, over and over. He says, you may know that you have eternal life. You may know. And also, he talks about the dangers of false doctrines and false teachers and antichrist. But the theme, the greatest theme in this book really is this thing of love. And the fact that the love of God to us, the fact that we love God back, and the fact that we love each other. And the loving each other is brought out really as a proof of whether or not we have a love for God and whether or not we're in him. John also writes in his gospel, he says, and it's interesting, he says, he uses that, I write unto you, or new commandment. He uses that several times. But in his gospel, in talking about what Jesus had to say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you have love one to another. And also in John 15, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Again, this joy comes out. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so, if you want to have joy, and you want it to be full, you live out Christ's commandments, and one of those is certainly that we love one another. Now, as we read through some of the passages here in 1 John, there are several words to maybe take note of as we are reading through. One of them is the word hate or hateth. Another one is love not, and the other one is love. And you'll see those intertwined in these passages on loving our brethren. And so do we hate? Do we love not? Or do we really, do we love? Let's start out by going to chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. He says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning, that the old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." So darkness is past, light now shines. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." A couple of things to notice here. First of all, again, it's a commandment, back to what Jesus had to say, a new commandment. Love your brother, love your others, love the... This is how everybody's going to know that we're his disciples, if we love each other. Another thing about this is he talks about darkness and he that hateth his brother, and light and those who love. And then he mentions there that the idea of stumbling, if we're in darkness and if we hate our brother, stumbling, we don't know where we're going, and we can't see very well if we hate others. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and I might come back to this thought a little bit later, but someone who has ill will and bitterness and hatred in their heart for other people or someone or unforgiveness often finds it very difficult to navigate life in general. They just can't get through life. They will make the most terrible decisions, and sometimes we look at it and we say, how could, why, what kind of a decision, why would they do that? And I think a lot of times it's because if we're in darkness and we hate our brothers and our eyes, it says, our eyes are blinded. We can't see where we're going because of this hatred for others. We live in darkness when we hate others. But when we love others, we love our brethren, then there's light and we can see where we're going and we can make better decisions. Not that every decision is always perfect and 100% clear, but someone whose life is guided by hatred and bitterness ends up in destruction. It just don't make good choices. It just doesn't happen. So keep that in mind as we think about going through this and thinking about loving our brethren. If we want to be able to have clear choices and make wise decisions, it has to start with loving God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and a love for the brethren, and walking in the light and not in darkness. Let's go now to chapter 3, and I'll probably read through this and then come back to these verses after reading a few more passages. In chapter 3, I'd like to start with verse 10, and we're going to go all the way through verse 24. And while you're going to that passage, I'd like for you to ask yourself a question. You don't have to say out loud. Would you consider yourself an easy person to love? Especially within the brotherhood. You an easy person to love? You a hard person to love? Have you ever thought about it? Just kind of think about that a little bit as we go through it. So in John chapter 3, starting at verse 10, it says, "In this the children of God are manifest," or able to be seen, "and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So you see that? If someone's not living righteously or doesn't love his brother, he is a child of the devil and not a child of God. Now that might sound pretty strong. I'm not the one saying it. It's the Word of God that's saying it. Right there you have it. "Neither he that loveth is not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeingeth the brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now we're going to come back to these verses in a little bit, but jump over to chapter 4, and let's read a couple of verses out of chapter 4. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Down in verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And over in chapter 5, verse 2, it says, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Let's go back to the chapter 3 there and look at some of these verses. What are some reasons that we struggle to love others in the brotherhood? What are some of the reasons? Well, first of all, it may come down to the fact that we can be a little harder to love sometimes than we think we are. I know I can be. And probably you can be as well at times. But the fact of the matter is, the emphasis in this chapter, in this book, is not about how easy you are to be loved, but whether or not I'm willing to love. The responsibility here is placed on the person loving, not the person being loved. Some people are a challenge to love. I understand that, and I can be as well. But the emphasis is on those who are going to be doing the loving. And so what are some reasons we can't? And if you go back to this passage, a couple of those things is, one, maybe we don't know God. We're not one of his children. If we don't love others, it could be that, maybe we don't even love God. Or we're living in darkness, which means we're not in the kingdom. In chapter 3, verse 10 there, that we read, a lack of righteousness. And we can look at this righteousness a couple of ways. One is, have we been justified? Are we seen as right? Are we righteous in God's eyes? If that initial justification hasn't taken place, then it's going to be a lot harder to love other people. Secondly, that gets fleshed out in our lives by actually living righteously. How do we live? And that doesn't mean that we live sinless lives where there's never anything that we do or think wrongly. But the fact is, are we living a righteous life? Is that our goal? Is that our basic standard, that we're living according to his will? If it is, then it's a whole lot easier and more likely that we will love others. And so that's that lack of righteousness. In verse 12, it talks about jealousy. Says, not as Cain, who was a wicked one, who slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And he was jealous. And I think sometimes, even within a brotherhood, that can be a problem. Someone else gets recognition. Someone else has a gift that you wish you had or I wish I had. Someone else is good at something. Someone else seems to have everything go right for them. And then they cross our path, and suddenly something just stirs up. And it's that jealousy thing. And jealousy, if it's not nipped early, can begin to grow. And pretty soon we start to see other things in somebody's life. And pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger until sometimes it slips from, well, one time maybe we did love this person, to that we don't love them, to a loving not, and then to a hating them. And takes us, I believe, out of the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness, if that's where we're at and we're unwilling to confess it and deal with it. So jealousy is one, and I can't imagine what it was like to have these two boys and to one of them kill the other one that early on in the human history. But that's what happened. Jealousy grew and grew and grew until it actually came out in a physical way. Now, that was hidden, I'm sure, in the heart long before it actually came out and he rose up and slew his brother. That didn't just happen just like that. It was an ongoing something that stirred and stirred and stirred. And maybe you would say, well, I've got somebody in my life that I don't see how I can ever love them. And you got all sorts of reasons. Maybe in your mind, righteous reasons why you have it out for somebody. And why you just can't love them. There's no way I can love that person. It's just not going to happen. But you let that thing go and grow and grow, and it will at some point manifest itself in external ways. Maybe not even directly to that person, but to other people. And you may find yourself a person that's frankly just hard to live with by anybody because of your hatred towards someone or maybe some people, a group of people. In verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. And I kind of referred to this earlier, but if you're not loving others, it could be you're not even saved. And I'm not saying that as a judgment. I'm just saying here that it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That means we're now born again, we're now saved because we love the brethren. That is the litmus test, in a sense, to knowing that. That's what John brings out more than once. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that because we love the brethren. And we love being a part of the brethren. We love being involved in the brotherhood. We love the brethren because we've passed from death unto life. In verse 15, it really makes it pretty strong here where it says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Wow. So if you don't love your brother, you're maybe because you're a murderer. No, you haven't actually physically rose up like Cain did, kill Abel. But in your heart, you're a murderer because you hate your brother. It could also be that you struggle with this because in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I think sometimes we can get caught up in a lack of understanding of our own needs and what it took for Christ to die for us and his suffering and death. And so we see a brother or a sister in a church that we struggle with, and we begin to build these feelings, and we begin to have a hatred toward them. You might say, well, I don't hate him, I just don't love him very much, or something like that. You know, I just struggle loving him. I don't hate him, but, you know, whatever. And this thing builds and grows. And it says we perceive or we understand the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we weren't worthy of it. We were not worthy of him laying down his life for us. Had a message here recently about worthy is the Lamb. He's the one that was worthy, not us. And I think when we get this out of focus, we begin to see that, well, so-and-so just doesn't deserve my love. Oh, do you deserve God's love? He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life. He gave everything. And he wouldn't have had to. He gave everything. And then he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You can't do that if you don't love them. But God loved us enough that he laid down his life for us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 45, it says, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the just, or on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So Jesus said, we love our enemies. So if somebody is upset at you, you love them anyway. I'm sure you've probably heard me or someone tell the story about the man who went to his pastor and said, I just don't love my wife anymore. I want a divorce. I want to get out of this. I just don't love her anymore. And he says, wow, this is terrible. He said, the Bible says you're supposed to love your wife. Well, I know, but I don't even consider her my wife anymore. I'm so frustrated and upset. And he says, wow, he said, well, the Bible says to love your neighbor. Surely she's still your neighbor. You're living together. And he goes, well, she's not my neighbor. I don't consider her my neighbor anymore. He says, wow, sounds like she's your enemy. He said, yeah, I think she is. He says, well, the Bible says to love your enemy too. So you either love her as your wife, your neighbor, or your enemy. You got to love her one way or another. And it's a little bit that way in a church. Sometimes we get upset at somebody and we're frustrated. Well, they're not my friend anymore. Or they're not my neighbor. Well, even if they're your enemy in your mind, you still have to love them. That's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. Do bad things to you. So somebody's in a church and maybe they've done some things to you that you feel is just flat out wrong. Jesus said, you still do good to those people. You love those people. There's not a lot of options to get out of it. Well, how does this look then? How does this love look? If we go over to chapter 3, there where I had read in verses 17 and 18, it says, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And I just want to, compliment you as a brotherhood. I have seen a lot of that through the years and even recently, where your love for each other doesn't just stop with words. And sometimes it's good to tell people you love them. But if that's where it ends, it's not really. He says, don't just love in words, but in actual action. And I would say here that love is not just words, it's action. And in the brotherhood, that is so important, that it's lived out in action. And just like this morning, and the older Sunday school class, the brethren went over to Bill's for Sunday school, I understand. To me, that's living it out. It's not a huge sacrifice, but it was certainly, I'm sure, encouraging to Bill and Laura. Have you come and have Sunday school there. It's more than just saying, we love you. It's actually living it out, doing it. And I think helping out in time of need is not just necessarily a financial need. It can be a physical need, of course, but it can also be an emotional need or a spiritual need. And it says we do it in truth. I will say this, love dare not be void of truth, because you can't overlook things that are wrong. Loving someone is not overlooking sin. It's not overlooking people making terrible decisions and going in bad directions and pointing it out. That's not love. Love is sometimes confronting. Sometimes in a brotherhood, we confront each other out of love. Now, if we do it out of hatred, it won't work. And even if we do it out of love, sometimes it won't work. I'm not saying that it will. But we do it out of love. We care for people and we help people in time of need. And I have been so blessed to see the brotherhood here do that so often, to help each other out. And as I said, not everyone's easy to love, but it does come back to laying down our lives for the brethren, being willing to do that, and being willing to do it when times are tough. So I guess I ask that question regarding love in the brotherhood. Is it something you find hard to do, easy to do? And I'm not saying it's always easy. I do think it's directed by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think that's why John points out so much that it's when we pass from death unto life that we love the brethren, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us in that, to do that. And it's not, love is really that thing that holds us together in difficult times. And we could go back and read 1 Corinthians 13 and see how that all plays out, but it is more than just words. And what really is love? It's hard to actually say what it is and to put your finger on it. I think you've heard me say this as well. An example of the idea of what is love is the little girl that was asked, you know, what is salt? She's supposed to know the composition of salt. What is salt? And she said, well, it's that stuff that if you don't put it in food, it makes it taste bad. Which really, it's kind of was a backwards way of looking at it. It's what you put in food that makes it taste good. It doesn't. But the idea is love is a little that same way. It's that thing that if it's not in relationships and it's not in the brotherhood, it makes it bad. And things don't work if there's no love involved. So it has to be there. And I guess I'll leave us with this question. If a holy, righteous God can love someone, why can't I? A holy, perfect, righteous God who has no sin of their own, who is perfect, can actually love someone. Maybe it's my brother or sister in the brotherhood here. They can actually love someone. Why can't I? And again, I'm not saying we overlook things. God doesn't overlook sin. God doesn't look favorably on things like that. But if he can love them, lay down his life for them, reach out to them, continue to draw and convict and be and help them to grow, then why can't I love them and do that myself? So a challenge for us this morning is to continue to love, and as especially in the brotherhood, it is so important, and I need to learn from it as well, that I would love everyone in the same way that I would want God to love me and that I would want others to love me as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for just your words and your teachings and your word. Thank you for how you have told us that we must love each other, that's what you desire from us. It's your commandment. You have loved us and you want us to love others. Help us, Lord, to do that and to be faithful and to just be the kind of people filled with your spirit that can love and be loved. And Lord, help us as a brotherhood to always have that first and foremost, no matter what we're working through, no matter what we're doing, no matter what challenges we have, that every challenge is met, first of all, out of love and truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.